Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Mike David. And for my next guest, please welcome everybody, Gloria Jean Banish. Gloria, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good to hear. Now, why don't you start with just throwing out your contact info for people to reach out to you to get more information.
Okay, I'm located in Appleton, Wisconsin at GJB Health Services. And my phone number here is 920-560-4525. I also have two different websites. You can go to HTTPS, GJB Health Services for our main practice website, and to Couples Workshops Wisconsin, it's WI, so couplesworkshopswi.com is devoted to my work with couples.
Awesome. So for those who aren't familiar what it is you do, why don't you just quickly go over just a little bit about yourself and what it is you do exactly?
Okay. I am a marriage counselor, and I am certified by the Gottman Institute to do Gottman Method couples therapy. I also present workshops for couples and am just about to start offering level one training for professionals, and you don't have to be a therapist to take level one training in the Gottman Method. This is open to pretty much anyone who works with people on a regular basis, because the methods that you will learn about will be helpful in any kind of relationships with your children, with your parents, with your employees, with your boss, with your coworkers, with your friends, just with everyone. And we also have a practice, GJB Health Services, and in this practice, it's a private group practice, and I started the practice 7 years ago by myself. And now we have four different therapists that practice with us who are fully licensed. And my husband also practices with me, and he is a psychiatrist, a neurologist, a neuropsychiatrist, and a vascular neurologist. We have three counselors in training that work with us, and they're able to see clients who don't have insurance and can't afford to pay our regular private practice rates. And I do quite a few different couples workshops. The main one I do is the Art and Science of Love. And I will be offering in October the Art and Science of Love, too.
Awesome. Now, was this something that you kind of always had growing up, maybe, you know, helping people in this way? Or was this something that you found later down the road?
Well, I don't know. Actually, the reason that I decided to be a therapist was when I was in undergraduate school, I found that I really sucked at math and English, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I want to do. And someone said, hey, why don't you major in psychology? And I'm like, okay, so I did that. And then once I got out of college, I decided that working with special needs adults and changing diapers was really kind of not what I wanted to do. And so I went to graduate school. And then after graduate school, I started working in a private psychiatric hospital. And I've worked in treatment centers. I've worked as an intervention specialist. I've taught DUI classes in two different states. So I just kind of fell into it. So that's, yeah.
Very cool. And when someone reaches out to you for help, say for the first time, what is it that you're mostly coming across? Do you find that most people are dealing with one specific sort of issue, or there's multiple issues? What is it you find?
Well, in our clinic here, or our practice, people call us with a variety of issues. The therapist here, I have a certified sex therapist who works with me, so she specializes in working with the gay, lesbian, transgender, questioning, plus community. She also works with people who are undergoing gender confirmation surgery. So, and she handles issues involving erectile dysfunction, painful intercourse, and just about everything in between. People who are struggling with some aspect of their sexuality. We have a therapist here who deal in trauma. So we have a lot of people with PTSD from military deployments, from childhood trauma that we work with. We have people who are struggling with substance abuse of some sort that come here. And we have people with depression and anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder. We also have people that come here for medication management, for psychiatric issues, or for psychiatric evaluation. We have neurological patients who come here, so people with dementia who have had closed head injuries, with cerebral palsy, with seizure disorders, Parkinson's, stroke, those kinds of things come here, sometimes for assessment, sometimes for medication management. We do neuropsychological testing. And psychological testing. And then personally for me, most people that come to see me are usually people who want help with their relationships. And sometimes an individual will come in by themselves, and after talking with them for a little bit, it becomes apparent to me that, wow, this is really about your relationship with your partner. And so let's get them in here so that we can work on the relationship, because it's hard to work on a relationship if only one of you are present. I mean, if the other partner absolutely refuses to come, then it's the next best thing. Some people come here for premarital counseling. Some people come here when they've just gotten married and are running into issues. Sometimes older couples come in that are dealing with blended families, with stepchildren, that kind of thing. Older couples also come in that are dealing with a transition to being empty nesters. Sometimes people come in who are struggling with fertility and adoption, and they're trying to acclimate to bringing home an older child or waiting for an infant. So just a wide variety of folks. Some people come here as a last ditch effort before they go see the attorney and file for divorce. And, you know, it's always a good idea if people are separating to come and check out what being in session can do for the relationship. And not necessarily to keep the relationship together, but particularly if there are children involved, these people are going to be attached at the hip the rest of their lives. And so they're going to be probably co-parenting or co-grandparenting. And, you know, it's always a sad situation when we have to have two birthday parties and two graduation parties because mom and dad can't be in the same room with one another. And, you know, if the children are younger, there's studying and teachers' conferences and extracurricular activities. So if communication wasn't good when they were under the same roof, it's going to be even more of a challenge when they're under different roofs. So that's always, you know, a really good reason to improve that communication. Also, a lot of people believe that, you know, basically they've married a dud. You know, we call it the fundamental attribution error, that, you know, I'm doing okay, it's you that's messed up. If we could fix you, things would be fine. And so they end up getting divorced and they remarry, and about 67% of second marriages end in divorce because people go, wait a minute, I must have found another dud. Because, you know, the problems in relationships always involve both partners. And so if you don't figure out which particular bag of stuff belongs to you and which particular bag of stuff belongs to your partner, you're going to go back out and recreate the same issues that you have in this relationship.
Now, how important is it for someone to have a relationship, a healthy relationship with their significant other?
Well, it's extremely important, because what we know is that in unhappy relationships, there's a much higher incidence of diffuse physiological arousal. So having your heart rate be above 100 beats per minute, particularly men in unhappy relationships, their heart rate tends to be 17 beats per minute faster than men who are in happy relationships. And women's heartbeats, when they're in unhappy relationships, their heart rate doesn't go up as a result of it, but their heart rate tends to match their partner's. And we know that this leads to a much higher incidence of cancer, stroke, all matters of immune issues, shorter lifespan, an increase in substance abuse, and including nicotine abuse, because people, when they are miserable, you know, need to find some way to medicate that.
And how does one determine that, yeah, now they need professional help when it comes to their relationship? What are some of the red flags that are most commonly seen?
Well, the thing is that by the time people get to my office, couples have usually been in distress on an average of 6 years. Now, imagine if we applied that principle to everything else, right? Oh, look, something's dripping out of the car. In 6 years, I'm going to go get that checked out. Oh, look, that looks like blood in the toilet. I better go see a doctor. In 6 years. Wow, I feel like a lump in my breast. I'm going to get that checked out in 6 years. So things go bad. And, you know, it's even more difficult to get people in, I think, for couples work, because both people have to agree to come in. And so typically one partner will want to come in and the other person doesn't. And then finally the other person does, then the first person doesn't. So as soon as you notice that you are having some what appear to be communication issues, I mean, that's the time to come in, because the sooner you come in, the easier the repair is, okay? So imagine, you know, you're driving down the road in your vehicle and you're not paying attention for a moment, and one of the wheels goes off the road. Well, if you notice right away, it's an easy fix. You know, you can be right back on the road. If you don't notice that one tire's gone off, then two tires go off. And then at that point, you might spin out, the car might flip, or if you don't notice it then, you may end up in a ditch. And if you end up in the ditch and you notice that, sometimes you can drive out of the ditch. Sometimes there's some damage to the vehicle. But if you don't notice that you're in the ditch and you drive through the ditch and over a cliff, then it's going to require some extensive repairs. I mean, people survive going over cliffs, you know, but the vehicle you use to go over that cliff is probably not going to be any good anymore. You're going to need a new one. So the things that we see, all couples have conflict, all couples. And it doesn't matter how successful and happy the relationships are. But what we know about successful relationships is that the couples in those relationships, first of all, when they're not in conflict, they have 20 positive things to one negative thing. When they are in conflict, it's 5 positive things to 1 negative thing. So they manage to fight with one another, but then they manage to repair the damage. They make it good. They go back and they own their part and they go, okay, that went bad. That was unfortunate. And they fix it. In unhappy relationships, the damage never gets fixed. And if you feel as though your partner doesn't listen to you, if you feel disrespected and not validated when you try to talk with them about how you feel, then you have some communication issues. If you have fights that go on for a couple of days, or if you end up not speaking to one another for a day or two, or you just shut each other down, those are all bad signs. You know, they're symptoms that you're not able to get that car back on the road. And if it feels as though your partner doesn't notice any of the good things you do, and that your partner only talks with you about what they don't like, and you find that you're doing the same thing to your partner, then you're probably in negative sentiment override. And once you're there, you literally miss 50% of the positive things your partner does and says. And positive things and neutral things get interpreted as negative, even when they're not meant to be that way. And you don't feel like making repair attempts. And if you do make them, your partner doesn't accept them. So, or if when you get into fights, one of you really shuts down and can't continue the fight. Certainly if there's yelling and screaming, if there's a great deal of emotion, those are all signs that things could use some work.
Yeah, I think that makes all perfect sense. What we're going to do now, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, more on relationship conflict.
Aloha to all you lovebirds out there. Are you thinking about a destination wedding? Let I Do Hawaiian Weddings help you realize that dream. We specialize in Hawaiian destination weddings. Our unique knowledge of the islands and vast experience with amazing locations will help us create the destination wedding of your dreams. We can help you celebrate your love for each other with a sandy beach wedding, flower lei and bouquet, photography and videography, limousine transportation, hula dancing, ukulele music, and a beautiful dove release. We can even assist you with marriage license and online paperwork. I Do Hawaiian Weddings is all about love. So visit us on the web at idohawaiianweddings.com or call us at 808-330-5555 to realize your dream destination wedding in Hawaii now.
Gideon's Quick Sale Realty, the realty company that has a winning track record for getting their customers the properties that best suits their personal and business needs. The company that doesn't put the squeeze on your budget. They specialize in the Queens, Brooklyn, Nassau, and Suffolk County areas. To become a winner, choose a winning team. Win a quick sale with Gideon's Quick Sale Realty. Go to Gideon'sQuickSaleRealty.com. Gideon'sQuickSaleRealty.com. Call 718-454-9000. That's 718-454-9000. Get the quick sale with Gideon's Quick Sale Realty.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
Welcome back to the show. I am your host once again, Mike David, and with me is Gloria Jean Banish. Gloria, my question for you is, how important is communication when it comes to fixing relationships?
Well, communication is the only way to fix relationships. So if you can't hear one another, and primarily I think what makes people not feel heard is when people don't validate the feelings that you're expressing. So that's because communication is about expressive, you know, you've got to deliver the message, and receptive. So somebody's got to be there to hear it. And what makes people feel heard is when their partner says, oh, I can understand why you would feel that way. That makes sense to me. I see how you got there. And, you know, maybe I would feel the same way too. And just that much really makes a huge difference, because I think what people tend to do is argue with people's expressed feelings. You know, well, I feel sad. Well, don't feel sad. Cheer up. Or that really hurt my feelings. Well, I didn't mean it that way. It's your problem if your feelings got hurt. Well, you know, I'm feeling nervous about that. Well, that's stupid. You know, don't feel that way. And so those things are the opposite of validation. So when people get that message, how you're here, feeling is wrong, how you're feeling doesn't make sense, what you're thinking doesn't make sense, then people feel very disrespected and either get very angry or very sad or both, and tend to shut down.
Now, after the sessions are over, do you usually set people up with some sort of game plan or give them some effective tools that they can use when they're not in session?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the wonderful thing about the Gottman method, because this looks very different than regular marriage counseling. So in regular marriage counseling, what it often looks like is individual therapy for one of the partners with the other partner watching. In Gottman's therapy, it's not like that at all. The couples are talking to each other, and I'm their coach, and I'm periodically stopping them when I see one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, for example, criticism, defensiveness, contempt, or stonewalling. So I will stop them, but the exercises that they're going through, they have the instructions for, and they're working through it in session with my guidance. And so it translates very well to them going home and using the techniques at home. And that's very, very much true of the Art and Science of Love workshop that I do, because there the couples work through all of the Gottman interventions that we do, and they have a manual, and I'm walking around to answer questions for them as they work through it, so that after the workshop, they know all the interventions, and they know when to use them, and then they can go and practice those on their own, and then come into the session and tell me, okay, we tried to use aftermath of a fight or regrettable incident, and we got through the first couple of steps okay, but then we got really derailed on the third step. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about what happened. And I'm able to see, okay, right there is what derailed you. So, you know, when you talk about triggers, go over that list. Be sure that you're not talking about the other person so that it doesn't sound like criticism. And they're like, okay. So we send them out to work on it again. And I also give them some homework assignments to practice improving their love maps of one another and asking each other open-ended questions. They're creating rituals of connection for themselves. They're having stress-reducing conversations, which I teach them to do on a daily basis. So it's about making little changes, which really change the trajectory of their lives. And so my goal is to make them not need me as quickly as I possibly can. And the sessions at first, we shoot for weekly for a few weeks, and then we start spacing them out to give them time to really practice working through things on their own and come back and let me know how that went.
Now, after going through your healing process and having these sessions, what type of results are you seeing on a consistent basis?
We have really good results. If people continue to do just a couple of things that we tell them to do. Now, if they don't practice the techniques, if they don't change some of the ways that they interact with each other, obviously it's not going to stick. But all of the things that we teach them to do were created from 40 years of research in watching what Gottman called the master couples interact with one another. So we know that the methods that we teach are effective. We know that they work. And we know that if couples keep practicing even some of them, that their relationship improves.
And what would you say is the most rewarding part of what you do?
Well, it's really fun to work with couples, first of all, because it's a dynamic interaction. You're seeing it happen in real time. And in that way, I guess it's kind of like doing group therapy, because in individual therapy, you're coming in and you're describing what happened, but you're not seeing it right there. Also, it's just a beautiful thing to watch people improve their ability to hear their partner and validate their partner, and to see them remember why it was that they fell in love with their partner in the first place.
And for once more, what is the best way for my audience to reach out to you for more information?
Okay, they can give us a call at 920-560-4525. They can go to our website, gjbhealthservices.com. They can go to my couple's website if they're interested in Gottman therapy, assessment, the therapist training, or the professional training, rather, or the couple's workshop, and that is couplesworkshopwi.com.
Sounds good. Well, Gloria, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on air with us. I really do appreciate you taking the time out.
Thank you. It was nice speaking with you.
And you as well. And for everyone else listening, please stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Post-parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.